What kind of maniac travels in time? Something I would wonder more than once before it was over, but never as urgently as that moment I regained consciousness on the damp ground. Grass tickled the back of my neck. I saw sky and treetops, smelled earth and rot. I had the feeling that follows a faint, or waking up in an unfamiliar bed after a long journey, uncertain not just where I was, but who. As I lay there, I remembered that my name was Rachel. Body and mind snapped together and I sat up, blinking at my surroundings, which were indistinct and flatly grayscale, and rubbed my eyes. I reviewed known side effects of trips through wormholes. Palpitations, arrhythmia, short-term amnesia, mood swings, nausea, syncope, alopecia. Changes in vision had not come up. Maybe this was new to science. Wind rattled the leaves, counterpoint to a repetitive squeak that might have been some insect long extinct in my own time. I marveled at the 1815 air, moist and dense, with smells I had no words for, reminded of the glass-domed habitat recreations at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, where we used to go on field trips. Once, children, the whole world was like this. Liam was about a meter away, same distance as in the airlock, but now face down and ominously still. Arrhythmia can confuse a heart enough to stop it. And then what? Could I really be so unlucky as to lose my colleague at the start of the mission? I'd have to pose as a widow, the only sort of lone woman entitled to any protection and regard here. "Are you all right?" I demanded. He did not answer. I slid closer and reached out to check his carotid, relieved to find a pulse. His breathing was fast and shallow, skin filmed in cold sweat. Past him, a clump of white trees, name forgotten, glowed in the gloom. My own heart was banging in my chest. I breathed slowly and stared at the white trees. Birch. And another word came to me. Dusk. Something barely noticed in my own time, in a life illuminated by electricity. Natural light. We'd learned the vocabulary of that, along with waxing, waning, crescent, gibbous, and the major constellations. I saw again in memory the steel-gray corridors of the Royal Institute for Special Topics in Physics, as the year I'd spent there glided before me like a time-lapse video clip. The dancing and writing practice, the movement and music lessons, the endless reading. Our walk to the airlock, last checks, solemn handshakes with the rest of the Jane Austen Project team. I was here. We'd done it. "Are you all right?" I asked again. Liam groaned but rolled over, sat up, and scanned our surroundings of field, birch, and hedgerow. The portal location had been chosen well. Nobody was here. "It's dusk," I explained. "That's why it all looks like this." He turned toward me, dark eyebrows arching in a question. "In case you were wondering."
"I wasn't."
His words came slowly, voice soft.
"But thanks."
I looked at him sideways, trying to decide if he was being sarcastic, and hoped so. In our time together at the Institute preparing for the mission, something about Liam had always eluded me. He was too reserved. You never knew about people like that. I stood, lightheaded, straightened my bonnet, and took a few stiff steps, brushing dirt and grass off my dress, conscious of the swish of all my layers, the slab of banknotes beneath my corset. Liam lifted his head, sniffing. He unfolded himself, rising to his feet with a surprising grace. In my experience, tall men shamble. Stretched his arms, repositioned his frizzy doctor's wig, looked to the right and froze.
"Is that what I think it is?"
My eyes adjusting, I saw a road, a lane wide as a wagon, forking a little way off. And in the Y of the fork, a gibbet, a man-sized iron frame, like a sinister birdcage, holding something that... "Oh!"
So they really were everywhere, he said.